All right. Hello, folks. Welcome to CJMQ 88.9 FM. This is your host, Shelby, with a new show for you called Workings of the Township. So I'm a student from Bishop's University, and thanks to the Nicholas Bashan Canadian Civil Society internship, I will be presenting this show for the next 10 weeks. So what is the Workings of the Townships all about? Well, I'll give you a little clue. Did you recognize the song, The Prelude? Well, this song is a prelude to a prelude. It's a song from the Dead South, a Canadian band from my home province of dear old Saskatchewan, and it's an old mining song. This show is about the primary and manufacturing sectors of the Eastern Townships. So those sectors include mining, agriculture, forestry, paper, and pulp mills, and sweet, sweet wineries. I will be looking at the history, operations, economics, politics, and social impacts that these industries have on the community. The Eastern Townships have had a long history of being an industrial region. To back this point up, I got a bit of trivia for you. In 1826, where was the first woolen factory built in Lower Canada? Magog, if you got that one right. Also, which factory opened in Sherbrooke in 1845? This is the first of its kind, and that would be a cotton factory. And when it comes to pulp and paper, William Brooks introduced industrial papermaking technology to Canada by installing an industrial-sized machine in a factory in Sherbrooke. Also, some of the region's main primary industries have been forestry, agriculture, mining, and a big manufacturing sector. In the 1890s, the townships were producing a high proportion of Quebec's total industrial output. So, for example, in pulp and paper, the region's share was about 31% out of all of Quebec. Wool manufacturing was 54%. Primary metals and machinery was 20%. And rubber was a whopping 100%, and of course, beer was 44%. Now, things have changed over the years. The industry and manufacturing sectors are not as strong as they once were, but they are definitely still here. The townships have the highest proportion of industrial workers outside of metropolitan Montreal. And out of the 101 communities in this region, there are 41 resource-reliant communities. So the break down goes about 14 in agriculture, 23 communities in forestry, and 4 in mining. Now, keep in mind, this information was taken from a study conducted in 2001, so a lot can change in 20 years. I've been hard-pressed to find current data about the amount of mining-reliant communities in this area since the Jeffrey mine closed in 2011. Regardless, the data does give a sense of how prominent the primary manufacturing sectors still are in this region. Now, the reason why I'm focusing on these sectors is that I don't feel that they get enough attention for how relevant they are to our everyday lives. There's this lovely Vietnamese proverb that illustrates this beautifully. When eating fruit, remember who planted the tree. When drinking water, remember who dug the well. So those farmers who put food on the table, to those truckers who deliver that food to the grocery store, to those miners who dig up the metals that make up those trucks, the automobile workers who put those trucks together, and the riggers who pump out that oil for those trucks need in order to deliver the food that we dearly, dearly depend on, are all a part of this important and complex system that, quite frankly, I don't understand, and I have this feeling I'm not alone. So, for instance, I have troubles understanding how much I rely on the energy sector until it's not working anymore. So think about the ice storm of 1998. About 3.5 million Quebecois, more than a million Ontarians, and thousands of people in New Brunswick were left powerless, some for days, some for weeks. I believe 35 people died, and about 300,000 farm animals died. It was one of Canada's worst natural disasters, And this all happened because 30,000 utility poles fell and more than 1,000 giant hydro pylons supporting the high power transmission lines that run from northern Quebec, supplying Montreal and much of the rest of the province with electricity, crumpled under the weight of the ice. Electricity, I personally take it for granted every day. Also, many provinces rely on different energy sources to generate electricity. The differences in geography creates different resource dependencies, which can have a major impact on the structure of the provincial economy. For example, Quebec has the most fresh water than any other province in Canada. It's endowed with rivers and lakes, which makes it the greatest producing hydroelectricity province in Canada. So about 95% of its electricity is fueled by hydro, and less than 1% of electricity is from natural gas. Now, if you contrast that with Alberta, who uses only 3% hydro, and about 89% of their electricity is produced from fossil fuels. So approximately 50% from coal and 39% from natural gas. And this has to do with its large oil reserves. A little fun fact, Alberta's oil sands has the third largest oil reserves in the whole world. So obviously they're going to capitalize on that. The primary manufacturing sectors not only bring opportunity, but also instability. These sectors tend to be very sensitive to such things as global market fluctuations, resource management regulations, and investment decisions. For example, Alberta and the country has benefited greatly from the province's oil and gas revenues. But when the oil prices bottomed out in 2014, an economic crisis has endured and more than 50,000 jobs have been lost since. Another example of a social and economic crisis is the collapse of the Atlantic Northwest cod fishery. In 1992, a moratorium, which means a temporary prohibition of an activity, was placed on the northern cod fishery due to the depletion of the cod stocks off the shores of Newfoundland. The reduction of fish was due to technological advancements, overfishing, and poor resource management. Over 35,000 fishermen and plant workers from over 400 coastal communities became unemployed. The collapse of the northern cod fishery has profoundly changed the ecological, economic, and socio-cultural structure of Atlantic Canada. There are communities that still have not recovered to this day. Now, bringing it back to Quebec, in 2018, Bombardier announced that it would lay off 2,500 workers in Quebec alone. Bombardier is the world's leading manufacturer in both planes and trains. The company's restructuring plans acted as their justification for cutting their labor force. These are just a few examples that show the far-reaching economic and social impacts that primary and manufacturing industries have on communities, whether they be good or not. So for the next 10 weeks, I will be reporting on the exciting worlds of the primary and manufacturing industries of the townships, researching their history, operations, economic, political, and social impacts they have on their surrounding communities. So once again, mining, agriculture, forestry, paper and pulp mills, and lovely wineries are just a few categories I'll be looking at. And if you're listening and you would like to share your knowledge about these topics, please contact me. I will be conducting interviews and taking tours of factories. And if you would like to be a part of this show, email me at workingsofthetownships@gmail.com. Once again, workingsofthetownships@gmail.com. So I will leave you now with my favorite song. You heard a bit of it in the introductory. It's called Black Lung by the Dead South. I hope you enjoy, and this has been Shelby with the Workings of the Townships. Till next time.
Stings as a pickaxe swings, the void of the mind. as minor pay. Seven times fell through the floorboards and it did.